Former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, who last month leaked details to newspapers about the U.S. spy agency's massive collection of domestic and overseas phone and internet communication records, remains in legal limbo at Moscow's international airport. The Obama administration had revoked Snowden's U.S. passport shortly before charging the 30-year-old former government defense contractor with three felonies, including espionage, theft, and conversion of government property. Now it appears that Russia may soon grant Snowden authorization to leave the airport transit zone where he's been stranded for a month and move to new quarters in downtown Moscow. Although the governments of Venezuela, Bolivia, and Nicaragua have all stated they would grant Snowden political asylum, none of these nations are served by direct commercial flights from Moscow. While recent public opinion polls suggest that the majority of the nation believe Edward Snowden to be a whistleblower and not a traitor, with large numbers of citizens saying that the government's anti-terrorism efforts go too far in restricting civil liberties, congressional leaders of both parties have allowed few challenges to the national surveillance state. But Republican Representative Justin Amash of Michigan is expected to introduce an amendment on July 24th that would end government authority for the blanket collection of communications records under the Patriot Act. On the legal front, the Electronic Frontier Foundation initiated a lawsuit on July 16th to halt the U.S. National Security Agency's massive collection of Americans' phone and internet data. The lawsuit includes a broad coalition of 19 plaintiffs, from civil liberties activists to church leaders and drug and gun rights advocates. Your reporter spoke with one of the plaintiffs, Reverend Rick Hoyt, minister of the First Unitarian Church of Los Angeles, who explains why his congregation joined the Electronic Frontier Foundation NSA lawsuit.
The lawsuit is organized by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and they have been a leading watchdog group for keeping the Internet free and for freedom of electronic communications generally since 1990 is when they were founded. So they had already started different legal actions against the Patriot Act and parts of government spying. They were beginning to work on a kind of unique legal argument that talked about the impact that the NSA actions has on organizations rather than individuals. And so they started to look for organizations that agreed with their legal argument and that would put together a group of organizations to be part of the lawsuit. So they were aware of our church and our social justice history and our political action through various public stances that we've taken on different issues, and they actually came to us through a lawyer who is a Unitarian member of the San Diego church. He also thought of us and recommended that we be involved in the lawsuit. So that's how we got involved in the lawsuit, and that's how our name got attached to the lawsuit, which is First Unitarian Church versus NSA.
Well, how does the sometimes controversial stands and actions your church takes relate to this lawsuit in terms of the fallout of massive spying in Americans' communications and the involvement of people in your church working on social justice issues?
Well, the argument is for this lawsuit is that all individual citizens in the U.S. have a guaranteed right to freedom of assembly. It's guaranteed in the First Amendment of the Constitution. And so we have the ability to join our individual voices together through institutions and organizations of any kind that we like in order to amplify our individual voices to make political change in the country. That's one of our guaranteed foundational freedoms. So when you have an organization like the First Unitarian Church or People for the American Way, or the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, which are all parties to this suit, who people are aware of take these controversial kinds of political stances, there's a legitimate fear that an organization like that might be under surveillance by the U.S. government. And in fact, you can point to our history that our church actually has been and quite possibly still is. But whether it is or is not, a person may be fearful that them by having contact with that organization, if that organization is under surveillance and calls that organization is making is under surveillance, that if they begin to associate with that organization, that they may then subject themselves to increased scrutiny that they'd rather avoid. And therefore, the current actions of the NSA have a chilling effect on a person's ability to freely associate with the organizations they want to be involved in. And that's in clear violation of their First Amendment right, and that's the argument that the EFF is going to be making in this lawsuit to overturn the legislation.
Now, it's part of the same debate. It really revolves around security versus liberty and privacy. And we hear President Obama and other officials make the case that with the threats of terrorism, evidence since 9/11, that Americans have to be prepared to give up a certain amount of their privacy and liberty in order to prevent future catastrophic terrorist attacks like we saw on September 11, 2001. How do you respond to the idea that there may be a balance needed, but the government's saying, you know, there's some sacrifice that needs to be made here?
Well, I think I absolutely agree. There does need to be a balance, and I'm certainly willing to make certain kinds of sacrifices, or legitimate sacrifices for security. But my argument is, and the argument of my church is that we have not found a balance. In fact, we're way over on the scale of security. And I would say we've fallen into the levels of paranoia about our security, and have been willing to sacrifice the kinds of fundamental freedoms that actually are what I love about the U.S. and what makes me proud to be an American. And if we're willing to throw out the Constitution in order to feel safe from terrorism, then I'd say that we've already lost that battle.
Reverend Hoyt, I also wanted to ask you about your views of Edward Snowden, the former contract worker with the NSA who revealed a lot of what we know about the massive surveillance of Americans' communications. He's been vilified by many in the media and some in government. What do you think about him? Is he a hero or a villain or, neither?
I don't know if I have an opinion about Edward Snowden himself. I think the service that he ended up bringing by bringing some of the secrecy of this program to light is certainly important. But whether his actions in particular characterize him personally as a hero or a villain in the story, I don't know. I think, unfortunately, some of the media attention about Edward Snowden has obscured what we really ought to be talking about, which is the government surveillance program itself. He's a better story, and it's more dramatic to talk about him flying around the world trying to find asylum somewhere. But it also prevents us from actually talking about the important discussion about finding this balance between legitimate security interests and protecting the constitutional rights of our citizens.
That was Reverend Rick Hoyt, minister of the First Unitarian Church of Los Angeles, one of 19 plaintiffs in the Electronic Frontier Foundation NSA lawsuit. For more news and commentary on challenges to the NSA surveillance program, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.